We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the ZabeCast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. Monday, February 2nd, 2026. It is, of course, Groundhog Day 2026. I do not know, as I tape this on Sunday night, whether Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow bad or whether he did not. Good to end our winter early. It never made sense to me that if the sun was out, it would be bad and he would see his shadow and run back in to his enclosure, and that means six more weeks of winter. And then cloudy is good. It's a silly tradition, but you know what? Traditions are meant to be kept. So let's keep this one as long as we can. I was showing my daughter clips of the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray and Ned Ryerson. You know me, Ned the Head. Come on now. Ned Ryerson, ding, bam, knocks him out. They aren't going to make another great, silly comedy like Groundhog Day again because the studios are not geared for it. They just don't even know how to make movies anymore. And maybe nobody would go watch a movie like that in theaters in today's day and age of scrolling constantly on your phone for short-form videos that are mostly created now by AI. I had a guy on the group chat send a easily identifiable AI video of a guy, and I don't want to say who it was that sent this because it's embarrassing. He does not even see that these are AI, Getter. But, you know, when Getter sent me this thing, I'm like, bro, stop it. I always say when somebody commits a group chat foul, my line is take a lap, like in the movie Woodcock. Take a lap. Take a lap. That's AI. It was a guy with a snow thrower on a roof in suburbia trying to go across the roof and then slipping and sliding off the roof. And it looked pretty darn realistic, all things considered. But you had to then notice there was a big steam pipe or a stove pipe or a chimney pipe in the middle of the roof that he slides right through and the thing just disappears. Of course, this is the glitchy AI videos we have now. It's the worst AI videos we have and will ever have. It's only going to get better and more terrifying and more insane from here on out. But anyway, Groundhog Day, let's hope Punxsutawney Phil did not see his shadow and we can end this godforsaken winter early. Some amazing stats. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina received more snow thanks to this storm that nicked Carolina, Charlotte, Atlanta, other parts of the country, and then zoomed out to sea. They got more snow in Myrtle Beach in the last 10 days than Breckenridge, Colorado. Juneau, Alaska was warmer than Orlando, Florida. Juneau was 33, Orlando was 24. We got iguanas falling out of trees left and right in South Florida because when the temperature drops below 40, their cold-blooded systems just go boop, and you can pick them up. They're not dead, but they're in a low-power state. Of course, they'll soon be dead because, as one woman said, let me find the soundbite here that I sent. I showed this at the dinner table after we were done eating. And so I thought it was acceptable. It was okay to show it at that point. And I was quickly told, ooh, really? Why? Here we go.
Jessica, she is the iguana expert. She's picked up, she said, hundreds of pounds of iguanas this morning. This is crazy. I've honestly never seen anything like it. Jessica, tell us, what is happening? Why are these iguanas frozen?
Right. Of course, iguanas are a cold-blooded animal. So as soon as it gets to freezing, we end up having iguanas fall out the trees here in South Florida.
Okay, and like I said, you've picked up hundreds of pounds worth just this morning. You told me you started.
By the way, the cute little reporter down there in South Florida in Hollywood, she's got gloves on. It's still Florida. She's got gloves on.
At four, what do you do with them after you pick up all of these all around the city?
Here we go.
Well, of course, we contact our Trinidadian friends and all the people that like to eat iguanas. So a lot of different cultures eat iguanas, and they eat the eggs, and they eat the legs, and they eat the tail. So this is easy snacks falling out the trees this morning.
Okay, and I know that you did tell me that before, and I was surprised because I said, is that inhumane? But tell us about the reasons why that's acceptable.
Right. So iguanas are an invasive species here in South Florida, just like the pythons, the parrots, and other animals that damage our native environment. And so we are not allowed to relocate these animals. Some people try to heat them up and let them back go. If you do that on your own property, that's your own choice. But FWC did allow for people to go to a place today. If you find frozen iguanas in your yard, you can look up on FWC's website.
She's got like buckets. I'm talking giant plastic tubs, organizer tubs, chock full of iguanas, and of different colors and sort of varieties, it looks like. And she's just grabbing them by the armful. Incredible. But it's meat. I know people don't want to think that, like, oh, no, come on. They're a pest down there, so tastes like all meat. And I did try to, you know, you guys have been saying, I want more sound bites on the show. And I would like to give you more sound bites. I know I have a Boss Hog sound bite that is on my computer that should be searchable when I go to the, quote, search window. And I direct it right to the folder called Pot of Sound Master. This is where I dump every sound bite I have. I know this file is in there. Why is my, quote, finder not finding it? Because now I'm going to scroll down. I'm actually looking at the bites. I'm going right to the H's. H-O-G-G-O. Oh, maybe it's not under Hog. Hold the phone. Let's go under Dukes for Dukes of Hazzard. This also should be easily findable. Listen, trying to give you the sound bites. Why would it not be in there? Okay, that's on me. I apologize. That said, the weather here in the DMV is crazy because we have something called snowcrete, which is basically the surface of sleet that fell on top of the snow has had 8 straight days where it has not been above 22 degrees, and it's frozen solid to the point where I, yours truly, El Baldo, can stand on the snow and on the snowcrete layer on top of the snow. And all 238 pounds of my pure, sexy, muscled body does not even punch through the snow. Also, I just, on a laugh, I took some golf balls out to the little upper terrace off my porch, and I tossed them onto the snowcrete to see what they would do. And of course, they just went, and they just skidded, and they rolled on the hard ice/snowcrete. And one of the balls kind of slipped off the edge of this plateaued area, over the rock wall, down onto more snowcrete on the sprawling monogamous compound property, where there is a drop of about 50 feet or so down to the bottom of the field area where Yohunai Field sits. And I just listened as and watched as I saw this yellow golf ball just go all the way down, probably 150 yards in a blink of an eye. I'm going to try to get out and film something tomorrow for socials on it, although it's supposed to get to 32 tomorrow, so it might start melting. Might start melting just a bit. We shall see. Anyway, we got some football to talk about. It is Super Bowl week, Santa Clara, California. Weather's going to be great, 67 and partly cloudy, but some sun there. Kickoff is at 6:30 Eastern, so that's 3:30 West Coast time. So there will be some sun splashes to begin the game. I love that about outdoor California games. We haven't had that since the last time they were at Santa Clara. And it's the only place now that will have actual sunshine for the Super Bowl anymore because, you know, LA, when they finally have it, I think they're due to have it one of these years, indoor facility, same thing for Vegas, or at least covered. So the weather's going to be great. The field's going to be nice and tight and great condition. I don't love the way they've logoed it. I've already seen that. I did comment on Twitter, but it's their field. They paint it the way they want. I had some suggestions, some notes. They didn't listen. Halftime show is going to be in Spanish. Great. Bad Bunny. Hey, how about that? We have been on a real run of hey, how about that halftimes. In part because we're running out of pop stars. That's another part of this. But Bad Bunny is a huge reach by Jay-Z, Roc Nation, and the Super Bowl. And it's meant to, I believe, this is just my theory, it is meant to ward off Trump. That they had to come up with an artist and a concept enough for Trump to go, I ain't going to that. Because they don't like that part of it. They don't like having to show him. They don't like the crowd giving him a pop. So, and also, I believe I saw an ad, or not an ad, but I saw a story about how Apple, because their new AirPod 3 AirPods have real-time translation allegedly built into them and the software so that you can use these when traveling to understand what people are saying to you, that there is going to be a tie-in, either a commercial tie-in or something with the halftime show, because all those songs are in Spanish, where they can sell you some headphones. And I said, well, that makes perfect sense. But gone are the days of Bruce Springsteen, The Who, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, Beyonce, and the like. Real ginormous pop and rock stars that everyone knows, everyone's heard of. We're kind of out of them. There's a few that haven't done the Super Bowl. They would be namely Taylor Swift, Adele. And I think Jay-Z was listed as the other biggest name that is yet to do the Super Bowl. Some artists have said no for various reasons, in part because the league now wants these artists to pay for their own production. Very expensive. So, game I think should be good, and we're going to talk about it more. Coming up right now with our guy, Mr. X, but let's go. Super Bowl week, Super Bowl 60, not LIX, LX. I'm sorry, I was stuck on last year. Super Bowl LX from Santa Clara. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
After the holidays, there's so much to clean up and get ready for the coming year. This leaves me exhausted and a lot of things falling off my to-do list. It's time to lock in, and Omaha Steaks delivers everything you crave to reset after the holidays. An order from them means having high-quality Omaha Steaks on hand at all times. I'm a big meat lover myself, and I always go with medium rare. But there's also plenty of poultry and other options available. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety. and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their end-of-season sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to www.omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide during their end-of-season sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. Thanks to Omaha Steaks for sponsoring us.
Let's get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the show, the fabulous Mr. X, on a Monday, no less, of Super Bowl week. Why? Well, Andy's having lunch with me Monday for Tuesday's show at the Palm, and I'm so busy otherwise, Mr. X, I might not get you in this week. You just said, though, before we went on the air, you're like, I'm used to not being on. So already you're griping about your minutes.
Oh, and I won't be hungry tomorrow. It's fine.
I know, exactly. Well, it's been a while since I've had you out to the Palm, but I think I've had you this year. I think.
Yeah, I went with Buck once time, okay. and then Naki bumped me out. So, yeah, it's all good.
You don't like being bumped. I don't blame you. I'll get you out there at some point. So, here we are, Super Bowl 60, and it's the last game of the year, and you may or may not have had a good year gambling on the NFL, but this is one more game to do it. I would recommend if you're down big this year, take that amount and double it. And then that way you're ahead at the end of the year.
You sound like you have a future in the industry. That's what the guys do. That's not what I do, but that's what they do.
I just wanted to give you the most irresponsible advice.
I will tell you the first 10 years that I gambled, each of those 10, I took the year's winnings and shoved them all in the middle on the Super Bowl. Really? I was either going to go up or go even, and I never cared. Okay.
So yeah. You took winnings.
Never do it when you're down, but I took the winnings and at the end of the year, because I track it. I was a young kid, and I tracked the whole year, and at the end of the year, I just say, let it ride.
Because you figured you were playing with house money.
Yeah, I guess. Didn't care. But
the years that you're up, is supposed to mitigate the years you are down.
I haven't had those.
You haven't had a down year?
Not too many, but certainly some. But in the beginning, I was up every year, and I would always, I probably lost 4 out of those first 10 Super Bowls, so I gave it all back. But it was the rush of a big stack of chips that was all house money, and that's what it was all about.
All right, so here's a question I get not infrequently. When you say you've never had a down year, or at least not very many, question I get from people. Okay. So, does Mr. X make his living on gambling? And I said, I don't know. I don't dig into his finances.
Are you with the IRS? No.
We're out of Cincinnati.
No, it is not a living. It has the site has become a full-time, part-time job. That's a different game because I'm spending the amount of time on that. Yes.
You're tending to subscribers and you're answering their emails and you're answering their questions as patiently as you can. Yeah. I don't think you snap at anybody for dumb questions.
No, that's the best part. I don't mind the questions at all. I mind the writing all night on Friday night, Saturday night, staying up too late and all that stuff. That's why I'm on the fence about the future. But no, I love the 9 out of every 10 listeners or subscribers, every note they send is good. And I'm sorry, but there's a learning curve. You know, you get these guys after years, they're like, okay, I'm pretty sure what you're going to say is this, but I want to ask anyway. And they learn. That's what I've always been about is teaching, not just like handing out fish.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Because you got to learn. The most important thing is money management and little tricks, little dumb mistakes, that the rookie or newbie or novice gambler will make that will cost you. For example, here's one, and I sent this to you prior to our chat today, and that was, apparently on some website, And I hope it's not on mybookie.com, the official website for all your responsible gambling needs right here on the Zabecast. But apparently the coin flip, which is a popular ha-ha bet, right? Because you cannot manipulate it. It is as true of a 50-50 odds bet as there is. However, this particular website put heads and tails at minus 104.
Four. Yeah, why not? Well,
and that means they're raking on both sides of it.
Correct? Always do. Always do. Yeah. I guess to me, the coin flip, though, I mean, it's kind of like gambling.
Shouldn't the coin
flip, who wants that?
Shouldn't the coin flip be minus 110 each way?
Well, 105 usually.
Oh, it is. Okay.
And you're going to see 105 on that.
And 105 both ways is the same as 110 both ways?
No. No, it's less. They're willing to take less on it.
Oh, I get it.
They're willing to take less because it's a true 50-50. You know, when all the games that are at minus 110, very rarely is the house right at that. You know, you're 60-40 favorite kind of thing as a rule. But you don't expect that same sort of overload on a favorite on a coin flip. So that's why they're usually willing to just throw it out at 105, and who cares? They'll take their 2.5% and be done.
But you shouldn't, like, if you really want to bet on coin flip probabilities, right, you should go with a buddy, sit and get hammered in your living room and flip coins. Then you don't pay 105, you pay even. You're not paying. That's the thing. It's a true 50-50 bet, but they're still taking a rake. Just kind
of
dumb.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. But the purpose of the coin flip, if I venture back probably 35 or so years ago, was all about, let's call it street cred, just being at the Super Bowl party with action on the coin flip and being able to say you had action on the coin flip. That's all it was.
Right.
Don't try to put logic in there. It's just like, oh, hey, I got tails. You know, that's all it was.
Right, because it helped to establish you as a true degenerate that you could then brag about. But now because sure, everyone's phones and all their betting sites in their pocket, yeah, it's just another bet. Do you remember Operation Slapshot 2006? The FBI was implicating a mob-linked illegal sports gambling ring. And the title of the operation was Operation Slapshot. You know why it was Operation Slapshot? Because Wayne Gretzky was involved. And it wasn't just Wayne Gretzky. It was Wayne Gretzky's wife, the lovely Janet Gretzky, Janet Jones, as an actress before she married the great one. She bet $5,000 on the coin flip, and they found that in the operation Slapshot that they had to break up that operation. I wonder what the FBI now does. They don't have to worry about these gambling operations anymore because everything is legal. Oh, wait a minute. They're still doing investigations on college players who might be gambling.
Heck, I can remember, again, I wouldn't ever advise these things, but as a youth, you did a few things perhaps I shouldn't have. But I can remember that Mark Rippon Redskins Super Bowl team, and I parlayed coin flip with the Redskins.
You parlayed the coin flip?
Yeah.
Why would you parlay if you felt strongly on the
because
Redskins?
Because as soon as the coin flip was over, I knew I was getting parlay odds on the Redskins because I already got one in the back. And well, if I'd lost, I'd have just fired it in anyway. I'd have fired it right back in.
Okay.
After the coin flip, you now have one leg home on a two-team parlay. So you're getting really good odds on the game.
So did you bet both coin flip heads, coin flip tails? Did you bet two parlays?
No. I just bet. Yeah, I could have lost. And if I did, I had 5 minutes to get in a new bet to get it to press it up, which I would have done. But I didn't have to press it up. So like, let's say you're going to pick a number. Let's say you're willing to bet $200 on the game. Well, I just put $100 on the coin flip and the game. Now you're only risking $100 to get your $260. Okay. And if I'd lost it, then I would have just pressed up and gone bigger.
Do you think people should do this move now?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
No. Yeah, it's not. No, if I'm going to skip the math, but no, it's a losing idea. Oh, but okay. I was so confident in that Ripon team that I was just trying to find a way go for it.
And that's what I did. Hey, I wasn't that smart then.
I thought this was a way to arbitrage a few extra percentage points by betting a true 50-50 bet, a -104, -104, and then parlay it with whoever you like in the game.
Well, I mean, you know what? I mean, yeah, you got 50% chance you're done right off the flip. But no, don't for a second think I'm suggesting it was a good idea. Okay. It seemed like a good idea when I was 33 years old. It's not a good idea, no.
Okay. So that said, I have to ask this question. Let's say the Super Bowl and who you pick is a fairly easily trackable thing amongst various gambling types, touts, public figures. And when they've been on a streak picking the big game, boy, oh boy, do they like telling you about it. Okay. Let's say you found somebody that you can surely identify as, yep, this guy, he has picked the Super Bowl right 9 years in a row or something like that. Is that a reason to perhaps tail him on this year's Super Bowl?
The short answer is no, but I would be far more likely to go against him.
Because odds of him being wrong are due theory?
Yeah, I mean, no, this is like nine heads in a row and it's still 50-50 on the next one. I get that. But I would say I'd be more inclined to do it. The answer to that is there's nothing special about, I'm really good at the Super Bowl, but I'm not so good at those other NFL games. I mean, right. if you can bet football, you can bet football. It's not like you have this specialty of waiting for the big game to have a hot streak. I mean, I just wouldn't buy that. I mean, there's nothing about this matchup that's any different than if they had played last week.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about from a game standpoint, who do you like? The Patriots defense is legit, and Vrabel knows just exactly what the fuck he's doing. So there's a lot of weight in that for me. That said, somebody put out a graphic that showed the Patriots' schedule this year and their opponents, and they had a column that just said, coach fired. I believe they had at least 10 or 11 games against opponents who ended up firing their coach. Now, that's not a ringing endorsement of them having gone through the gauntlet this year, but two things that need to be said. One, you only play who they put on your schedule. You can't control that. And all the teams they played were professional football teams with paid players, paid coaches who were trying their hardest, even though they may have sucked at doing so. I'm looking at you, Jets, twice a year. The other part of it is that needs to be pointed out is that the league itself turned over a third of its coaches, 10 guys. So this was going to be probably somebody was bound to have a schedule like that. Do you buy into the week's schedule theory for those who don't like the Patriots this coming Sunday?
This is not college where there's a huge discrepancy in talent and the schedule is everything. These are NFL teams and you play who you play. But make no mistake about it, they had a soft schedule. And I think Vrabel has the best defensive game plan I've ever seen. Shut down the run and play teams with dog shit quarterbacks. That's a good plan. Worked last week. Not only did they have a soft schedule, I don't have it at my fingertips, but they went through a stretch where they'd get a backup too. You know,
yes.
They didn't just play non-playoff teams. They played non-playoff teams on the week that a QB would be out. Yes, they had a soft schedule. And yes, they got through the playoffs, you know, with a bad Houston team and then playing in a thunder or a snowstorm. So yeah, but they're here and you know what? They're playing well. And I am surprised. I did think that the line would be 6. It opened at 3.5 for about a half an hour before it went to 4.5. I did jump on it at 3.5, but it's as it gets up, I'm not sure I'm going to stay on that side. I haven't really decided yet, because I will tell you, I mean, the last 25 years is all about underdogs. You know, you and I are old enough, and I'm older, to have gone through when the better teams just kicked butt every Super Bowl, and they were bad games. Now, I was looking at this just now. in the last 24 years, there's been a lot of, I don't like the stats about favorites and dogs when you have all these lately, all these 1 and 2 point favorites. That doesn't matter to me. You know, that's just picking a winner. But of the last 15 games where the spread has been at least a field goal, the dogs have won 11 out of 15 or covered and won 11 out of 15. So, you know, we've been on a big underdog run. That's for sure.
All right. I got the quarterbacks the Patriots have played. You ready?
Okay.
Week one, Geno Smith.
Who beat him.
Right. And they lost to him.
And after that I'm going to jump in. After that season opener, you go, wow, the Raiders beat the Patriots. I have an idea. Maybe the Patriots will be in the Super Bowl and the Raiders will have the 1-1.
Can you imagine getting money on that after week one? Can you imagine if you could have written that bet? I hear the bookies, the Ladbrokes and the shops in the UK,
yeah,
they will let you write your own.
Name your bet. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they see what you wrote down and they take it to their, I guess, bookmaker, the guy in the back that has to back the bet with money and says, I'll give you 30-1 on that. And maybe you can haggle for better odds, maybe not, or I guess their price is final, in which they say, okay, fine, but here's the number. Is that true?
It used to be.
Okay.
It used to be. You don't have to go over there anymore because the shops here have gotten almost everything. But it used to be like the Lloyd's of London of gambling. You'd go over there and just say, I want this and that, and they would do it. Yeah.
That's amazing. Imagine after week one. All right. I would like to place a bet. Yeah. What? The Raiders will be picking 1-1 and the Patriots are in the Super Bowl. Oh my God, mate. They just lost to the Raiders.
Yeah. Did you see that first game? That can't happen.
Yeah. 10,000-1. Off you go. All right, $5. Knock, knock. How we doing? Geno Smith, week one. Jellyhead, Tua Tagovailoa, week two. Ancient Aaron Rodgers, week three. Bryce Young, Carolina, week four. Josh Allen, there's a tough one. Then they got Tyler Shuck for the Saints before he started to figure shit out. That was in week
six. I think it was his first start. I'm pretty sure it was.
Cam Ward after that. Dylan Gabriel after that, the last of Michael Penix in Atlanta after that, Baker Mayfield, ding, legitimate quarterback, Justin Fields of the Jets, woof, Joe Flacco with the Bengals,
yeah.
Jackson Dart with the Giants, Lamar Jackson with the Ravens, legit, but then Brady Cook for the Jets, who I had to look up.
Yeah.
To say, wait a minute, I don't remember a Brady Cook starting a game for the Jets, but sure enough, he did.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the last quarterback they played was Quinn Ewers of the Dolphins. Oh, shit.
And then even in the playoffs, they got the Chargers, who were so banged up, and Herbert was, you know, as gimpy as can be. Stroud was... You know, he was horrific. Granted, the Patriots defense gets some credit, and then they get Stidham. So, yeah, you can't ask for a better path than that.
Yeah. And there was 11 opponents whose coach eventually got fired. There's a double up on the Jets and the Dolphins. Oh, by the way.
You know, you could also just say, hey, they played non-playoff teams, and every non-playoff team is firing their coach. It's kind of two ways to say the same thing.
So, Seattle, meanwhile, absolutely can score a number of ways. They're also the best running team in the league by many metrics, even though, of course, Jackson Smith and Jigba gets all kinds of attention and accolades, and rightfully so. And Sam Darnold seems to no longer be seeing ghosts, and so therefore it's kind of hard to really say I feel good about only 4.5 with the Patriots. Like, it seems like the duh play is Seattle. It seems like if this is a repeat of the year that Seattle tore Peyton Manning and the Broncos limb from limb at the Meadowlands, that we'll be sitting here on Monday a week from now going, I don't know why I didn't bet $1 million. I could have seen that one coming. They're a way better team.
Yeah, the story will just be, wow, the Patriots were lucky enough to get Sam Darnold in the Super Bowl, you know.
Right, he'll be the last.
Still didn't have to play a tough quarterback, you know.
Is there something that the duh angle might overlook when it comes to, of course I'm taking Seattle. They're better.
The only thing I would say that just a few minutes ago, a lot of shops moved it to 5.
Oh, really?
You know, the same thing I said in, you know, it's the only duh factor I would say is this. I mean, yeah, anything can happen, but 4 or 5 points mean more than most gamblers understand. It you know, it means more than they tend to pick the winner and forget about it and say, I will win by a touchdown. So whenever you can have an underdog that might win the game, and if not, they still cover, I think that has more value than the average person recognizes.
Okay.
That's the only thing I'd call a duh factor. Is Seattle better? Heck yes, they're better.
I'm not calling you a liar. I'm just trying to follow up on this. VegasInsider.com right now, which carries a strip of all the different shops, Bet365, MGM, DraftKings, Hard Rock, FanDuel, Fanatics, Bet Rivers. They're all still 4.5.
They are, but if you look, you'll see a lot of those are at -115, which is on its way to 5.
You're right. I do see 115.
And the one that I said just moved to 5 is not going to show up on your list.
Okay.
It's an island shop. You're right. They're the only ones that have gone to 5 so far, and it was just a few minutes ago. But when you see them starting to go to 115, 5 is next.
All right. Do you think this line is going to move significantly by the end of the week?
No, but for I can't forget things I've learned. No, yeah, I can.
Yes, you can.
I can.
You can ignore your own good advice.
Oh, that too. But for 25 years, it was the same formula, and I'm slow to adjust because it hasn't been true lately. But that's because the games have been tight spreads, 1, 2 points, 3 points lately. But whenever it's a bigger spread, a clear favorite, let's say 6 points or more, it's always the same formula. 13 days of every ticket coming in on the favorite. 13 days. And they know it's okay that it's 90% favorite. It's going to come in. And then in the last 24 hours, it's like Eddie Murphy in Trading Places, if you remember that. Okay, now it's gotten high enough, and then all the money pounds in the last 24 hours on the underdog.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Can you talk about, you have a note here, you want to talk about the difference between Sean Payton in December and McVay. Payton, Deck, and McVay.
Oh, I might have had typed something wrong. What I was talking about was the fourth downs in the championship games.
Sean Payton's decisions versus
McVay's. Because ever since gambling became so prevalent, whether it's a bad call or a coaching decision, nobody trusts your input anymore. Because if you say, oh, that was a bad call, first thing you must have had a bet on that team. Like, as if you can't evaluate it, you know?
Right.
And like when Peyton didn't kick that field goal, I was flabbergasted because I'm like, you're up 7-0. You have Jared Stidham at the helm. Chance to go up 10 at home. Give the kid, let's call it, a little confidence, a little breathing room. It's going to be a game in the teens. Take the points. You know, it was easy.
Remember, the weather was fine at that
point. It was fine. But, I mean, the game was going to be scored in the teens. I didn't mean the temperature. I meant the score was going to be a low-scoring game, points at a premium, take three.
It's 4th and 1. It was a meaty one. Yeah. But it was 4th and 1, and they were at the 14-yard line. So it wasn't like 4th and 2 at the 30. I thought that would have been indefensible. You kicked the field goal all day, every day there. I understood the aggression of, if we can just get a first down here and then punch in, we have now knocked the champ on his ass and have a chance to knock him out.
I guess, see, I always take the theory of, I also looked at it as, and by the way, I was on Denver to cover, which they did.
Yeah.
And I wanted the field goal. This isn't a, you know, like a, oh, my team lost kind of crap. But I look at it as points are at a premium. 10-0 is a good margin. And after you convert, you still have three plays to score a touchdown, and you still have Jarrett Stidham at the helm. You're probably kicking a field goal three plays later.
That was the mitigating factor that I made sure to elaborate on when I said I thought it was a closer call than people thought, that converting that first down, it's still a tough touchdown because of how good New England's defense is.
Exactly.
So and it's the still facing a tough touchdown, even though you may be first and goal, you got to really think hard about how likely is a touchdown here and factor in the, you know, how it's my quarterback that's a, you know, a backup who hasn't thrown a pass.
He's coming off the field feeling better with a 10-0 lead. That's it. Look, the Vrabel did the same thing in a similar situation when he did the sneak on 4th-and-1, which I don't have any idea how they gave him the first down, but they did. And everyone's like, okay, great. You converted. And three plays later, they kick a field goal. was it worth, you know, the difference is they needed a half a yard and it's an easy sneak. And I, you know, I treat those different than if you have to run a play and throw the ball.
Right.
But I still look at it as, are you watching this game? These defenses are going to dominate. Do you have to convert and then kick a field goal? Or can you just kick it now? Because, you know, you're not getting in the end zone probably. Now you take the Rams and McVay, and I was stunned at how much heat he got when they were down 4 late. And 4th-and-3 or 4. And the difference is he's going for the touchdown.
Yeah.
They're down 4. He's not going to convert and then still 3 plays later kicking a field goal. He's going for the touchdown, not the first down. And you have Matthew Stafford. And if you kick that, I'm stunned at how much criticism they got from the so-called analysts. Kick it, cut it to 1. Then all you got to do is stop him and get the ball back. By the way, you haven't stopped him yet, but sure, you could do it now. And all I could think of was, did you watch Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady play?
That's exactly.
And they kicked the field goal. How'd that go?
Never got the ball back. It was completely dumb. It's
the same scenario. I want Rodgers to get a touchdown. I want Matthew Stafford to get a touchdown. It's just not the same as, hey, it's Jared Stidham. Let's convert. And then, no, you take points with him in that scenario. But you let Stafford go for it. If you don't let the MVP take his shot to win the game, you haven't been watching that game because Seattle's going to score again anyway.
Now, I'm going to find this for you because it's a fascinating thing that was unearthed by NFL Films. You know why that play was covered? Because DeMarcus Lawrence botched his assignment at defensive end to the point where Mike McDonald, when he saw it unfolding, screams, no, 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 keep rushing. What are you? And DeMarcus Lawrence dropped out in coverage so that Kyren Williams, who was the primary on the play, was briefly double covered. And Stafford looked, saw something that he wasn't expecting, that also made it a less than great pass, and then immediately moved off of it. Because remember, these quarterbacks move through their progressions literally like this, right?
Yep.
Look, look. After the game, McVay said, well, you know, they kind of got lucky there. It's okay. You know, it was a bit of a blown coverage, but it worked out for him. Lawrence, meanwhile, claims, no, no, I saw what was happening. I made my own call to go Leroy Jenkins on the coverage. And I'm going to find you the clip and play it and show it to you because I think you'll appreciate it. But the whole thing about kicking a field goal there to go down 1, because, gee, then all you need is to stop him, get the ball back, and then drive for a winning field goal belies the fact that if you don't get the 4th down, you still need to stop them and get the ball back, and then you can score a touchdown to win. So in other words, the hardest part, which is getting that stop with very minimal time runoff as the game is bleeding out, is the hardest part.
Sure.
I would rather take it on 4th-and-4 with a great quarterback in Stafford with two great-handed wide receivers in Davante Adams and Puka Nacua. I mean, those guys have absolute suction cup gripping hands, right? Sure. I'd love to take that chance. It just didn't quite work out. So that was a dumb thing for people to go, no, you kick it and then you try to play defense. The fuck you do?
Yeah, this was the classic example of what we have talked about with our analytics all year. You have a game that you might need to get to 15 to win. And you have a game in the 30s with Matthew Stafford. You don't, it's not like Troy Aikman saying, well, the analytics say. One of them's Jared Stidham in a game you're trying to get to 13. The other's Matthew Stafford when you're trying to outscore him. Those aren't the same scenarios.
Yeah. All right. Talk for a second while I find this bite before we move on. What else do you have? from the conference championship rounds. Let me put a quarter in your jukebox on this. What about the people saying we need neutral site, warm weather, and or dome AFC and NFC championship games to ensure the quagmire of the Battle of the Bulge, which happened in Denver, never happens again because, it wasn't pretty to watch. It was unfair to the Broncos who were trying to move the ball and come back from a deficit.
When was the last time you said it was unfair for them to play at home? Yeah, okay. I guess I would say, you know what? Bad weather football is really fun to watch. As long as it's not your team or your money, it's fun. But when it's your team and your money, it does stick. But where are you going to draw the line? Oh, you have to have neutral site championships. Then we're going to have a horrific weather game in the round before that. Okay, so are we going to move it up another round? Nah, just, you know, come on. And I don't do it anymore, but I went to Redskin. And they were the Redskins when I went. I went to the championship games, 4, 5, 6 times at RFK. And if you say, oh, it's championship game, we're moving it neutral, screw the people with season tickets. Come on. That makes no sense. That makes no sense. Because, by the way, at least 9 out of the 10 times that you move it, you're moving it from a decent weather day anyhow.
Yeah. Here's the play right here. This is from the NFL's Turning Point series, or NFL Films' Turning Point, which is great.
Aaron Williams in the flat.
Hold on a second.
This was a miscommunication, as Lawrence was supposed to rush.
Yeah! We actually didn't even execute that play well on the fourth down.
The resulting coverage confused Stafford and forced him to go to his next option.
They've got 7 guys up at the line of scrimmage, so Matthew's thinking, I got to get rid of it quickly. Then everybody drops out. It ends up basically being a 2-man rush.
Where else do I go there?
They were bringing a 0. They ended up peeling 2 guys. Can't imagine that's what they were really trying to do. And they kind of lucked into having 2 guys peel on Kyron right there. I know that can't be part of their design. It's a fortuitous bust by them.
I saw McVay running down the sideline, wondering if he thought he had the right call, and then he just decided to ride with his quarterback.
Julian
that's
Love.
Good shit right there, is it not?
Yeah.
That's good shit. That is, and again, this is why, Mr. X, this is why I say, you know, if you gave me a year to really dig in and learn how to call plays.
Could you call a play?
I said, I wouldn't be great, but I'd be league average. And people laugh at me. And the reason why I would be league average is very simple. Any given play, and I would not design any of these plays. I would just know the menu, okay? Sure. I'd hold the menu. I would call the menu out. Let's run this here. Any given play has about a 50-50 shot of working.
Well, the hard part of watching that's a good film. The hard part of watching that film, I can't, you know, that was the
vertical
game.
Video. That pisses me off. I know it exists horizontal. Fucking. It's just chop it vertical. You need to see the wide parts, you dick.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's Matthew Stafford. What am I going to do? Sit here and critique him? But when you watch that,
sounds like
we thought everyone was coming. Oh, they all dropped into coverage and fooled him. What was the hurry? There was no pressure. They dropped 7 into coverage, and he threw to a covered tight end that never was open by an inch. And I watched that going, if you watch that again, there's no one near him. Why did he have to hurry and throw the ball? You say, I thought the blitz was coming. But when you look downfield and everybody's double covered, guess what? The blitz isn't coming. I don't know why he got rid of that ball so fast. I said it at the time, and when you just showed it, it showed how there was no one near him.
I mean, I know everyone likes to think that these quarterbacks have all kinds of time, but literally 2 more seconds is a long time in the NFL. 2 seconds goes by like that. And I don't know what routes his receivers are running. I think if you had more field beyond the line of scrimmage to play with, that's where, quote, off-schedule plays and broken plays can turn into big gains. But when you're compacted inside the red zone, a lot of times on off-schedule plays, it's hard to get a guy open because literally the end zone is buzzing with aircraft patrolling 6-7 guys.
I'm not suggesting that it's easy, but what I am saying is I hate to see a quick throw it away on fourth down. I don't care if you get sacked on fourth down. Take the time and find somebody. That was Joe Burrow was the first one to start saying that when he would, everyone criticized his O-line, and he said, I take a lot of sacks on third down. Why am I throwing it away? Yeah. I don't care about 8 yards. And he's right about that.
Let's talk about the Hall of Fame. A couple of the voters have come out to explain their rationale, including Jerry Dulac in Pittsburgh. He talked about the process, which is fucked up. Yeah. They lump all these disparate parts together. A coach, an owner, old guys like Elsie Greenwood, and they say you must pick three, but you cannot pick more. And certain guys that are there put forth by the Veterans Committee, like Greenwood, may have been on the verge of their greatest chance of making it, so the writers feel like I'm going to make sure to put them in ahead of a guy like Belichick, who we know is going to get in next year, most certainly.
Yeah.
And it's just a bullshit way of gaming the system, even if you believe Belichick is a Hall of Famer. So the process is dumb, but never underestimate the petty and insecure nature of these voters, because it's a joke that he was not unanimous. It should have been 50 for 50 on Belichick. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I don't blame, you're right. It's not the individuals as much as the process. I can see guys who are like, well, this is so-and-so's last time. I'm going to do what I can to help him. But the mere fact there's an exact number is what's stupid. The only thing I will say, and prior to steroids, the only thing I will say that MLB Hall of Fame does right is there's no number. You could have zero guys, one guy, or 10 guys. And why should you have a number?
What's the percentage threshold in baseball?
I think it's 75%.
And I believe there's close to 1,000 ballots.
Yeah, something like that. And you only get 10 slots on the ballot. But so I'm sure there's a formula in there somewhere. Only when I say unlimited, there is a limit, obviously. But there are years that when the class is a big class and there's six guys and they get the votes, don't tell me you came in fourth. You're in. I'll give them that. Why are you picking three guys and leaving a Belichick out because they're playing games? Some years there's nobody. It's okay.
Yeah. The number is not 1,000. It's 400 in baseball.
Okay.
But it's still eight times the size of the NFL's group. And most importantly in baseball, they're not getting together, Mr. X, to fucking talk about it and to jack off to each other, being in this room with privacy and secrecy about, oh, we're special. We're the Knights of the Round Table here to decide the Hall of Fame. Everyone gets a vote. Put your vote in. If you want to write about why you did or did not put somebody in, baseball writers have been free to do that. And many of them have laid it out and explained it, and they stand behind their opinions.
Yeah.
For anyone that says, well, you know, these guys get death threats and shit, well, then resign your vote. If you don't feel like you can handle the heat of here's who I voted for and why, then don't vote.
Well, I don't know if they still do it, but they used to have that deal where the finalists would all be in that hotel waiting for the knock on the door from that one big dude. I forget his name. He thinks he's football guy.
David Baker.
Yeah, that's it. But okay, and great. You have this footage of the dude answering the door and getting emotional.
Bro hug. You don't have footage of the guys who are left sitting there.
You got seven guys you made fly across the country sit in a hotel room so their door doesn't get knocked. Well, what is that?
Well, Jacoby was one of them back in 28.
How many years did he have to fly out and do that? It was ridiculous.
I don't know how many times he did it. It might have been only once he did it because he was close enough to get in. But it was still shitty. And it was still something that I said, how come no adult in the room spoke up and said, this is inhuman to do this
torture
people, and
it's worse than frat party votes. I mean, that's just stupid.
Yeah. That said, Belichick will go in the Hall of Fame next year. So, but you asked the question to me in your notes about why does any part of any of them not get worse each year?
Yeah, all the Hall of Fames are worse every year with everything they do. I can't even think of anything that's getting. I mean,
in every sport.
Yes. None of them are any good.
Were they once good?
I thought so. Maybe I was naive. I thought so. Baseball's stupid because of all the people they won't let in that are the best of all time, and they might have cheated. Oh, come on. Whatever. Move on. You know, is it the Hall of Fame? And now it's becoming, you know, the Hall of kind of pretty good. You know, I don't know. The football, the whole pick a certain number. It's almost like it's who's on your schedule versus how good were you. You know, are you happen to be up in a year where, you know, there's nobody any good? Hey, I look good compared to those guys. Yeah. That's stupid too.
So here's the separation. There's the modern era finalists, and the class this year is Drew Brees, Eli Manning, Larry Fitzgerald, Torrey Holt, Reggie Wayne, Frank Gore, Jason Witten, Willie Anderson, Jari Evans, Marshall Yanda, Kevin Williams, Luke Kuechly, Terrell Suggs, Darren Woodson, and Adam Vinatieri.
That's next year's ballot.
Class of 2026.
So, yeah, they'll be voting next year. Okay.
Well, no.
Not the one we just did. That wasn't who was on the ballot.
No, no, no. I believe they're going to debate these guys this week.
Okay.
And then the other finalists are in the senior coach contributor category.
Oh, okay. So I got you.
Separate one. And contributor coach senior consisted of Belichick and Kraft with Ken Anderson, Bengals quarterback, who I had poo-pooed over the years, but then I looked at his career brick on Pro Football Reference. I was like, God damn, Ken Anderson was kind of a badass. Roger Craig and L.C. Greenwood. And that was the five for which they had to vote for three.
Yeah. All good players. None of them. If you just, you know, picked a day in next year and said, hey, is this guy in the Hall of Fame or not? I'd go, I don't think so. I don't think any of them, none of them bug me as not being in there. You know, maybe Greenwood deserves it just because of the team he was on. I mean, everybody else on that team is in there, but Roger Craig, good running back for a couple of years. Anderson, good quarterback, but gosh, I don't know.
Yeah, they'll be voted on this week, and they'll be announced at the NFL show on Saturday night before the big game. Here's my most controversial Hall of Fame take, and I'm not kidding when I say this, but people say, you can't do that. My take is that you start taking guys out. So in other words, you have a finite set of, say, 100 or 200, and then as more great players come down the pike, you refine who's actually in the hall. I know you're shaking your head like
that's stupid because my son says the same thing, and we have such recency biases. I think X4 lobbies for that.
Okay.
And well, like if one goes in, one goes out.
it's like golf shirts. I can only keep 20 total.
But I say to him every time, I'm like, there's already such a built-in recency bias. All you're going to do is take out all the old guys, and that's what it's there for. So
listen, you know, if you really want to refine, like Walter White cooking his crystal blue meth, if you want the most refined, definitive group of the greatest men to ever play tackle football, it would, logic demands that you cap it at a certain number and you start pulling out the weak links, even if they are favorites or had historical sort of appeal. Yeah. I mean, Joe Namath is a joke.
Yes.
Swan is a joke in terms of career body of work, but they were iconic figures with iconic NFL films, slow motion highlights.
He won MVP with four catches.
That right in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, the year he won the Super Bowl, he had four catches.
Because he had the one where he tipped it up to himself.
And two of them were pretty highlight reels.
Yeah, exactly.
But he had four catches.
I know. Okay.
Well, you know what? We had two discussions this week. That was one of them. The other one, X4, absolutely did not believe me. Luckily, I think he used Gronk or something, but I told him that because he was talking about the Senior Bowl and how, you know, nobody goes anymore because they don't want to get hurt. So, and I said, you don't know this, but they used to have the NCAA All-Stars play the Super Bowl champion. And he's like, he did not believe me.
Didn't believe
I think it ended around the Steelers, I think, we might have been the last team when the Steelers were like, we don't want to go do this. We've won two in a row or three. And they're like, why are we doing this? Prior to that, the All-Stars played the Super Bowl team.
There's that. But the even more crazy thing was when NFL rookies played the defending Super Bowl champions in an exhibition in August. And there was a high profile rookie who tore his knee to shit in the game. The game ended in what could best be described as an act of God. This was God's
lightning storm.
Yes, this was God saying, would you knock this shit off? This is not just counterproductive. It's insane. You're pitting a group of rookies who have never played together in a real tackle game against the defending Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was the
no reason.
And didn't they do it like on the Hall of Fame weekend? No, maybe that's baseball. But they did it before the preseason games, the week before. So you really want to tell the defending champs you have to not only play this game, you got to play an extra game, and you got to come to camp earlier. No, no. That and the other one I told him this week was an old Zabin classic.
By the way, this is the Chicago Charities College All-Star Game. It ended in 1976.
Ooh, that was a Steeler year, yeah, wasn't it? That was a Steeler championship team.
The final game was called due to a torrential rainstorm and fans tearing down the goalpost. The NFL champions won, shocker, 39 of the 42 games that they played in this thing.
How'd they get to three?
How'd they win the three? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Mm. Yeah, this thing went on forever. There's also a YouTube clip. I'm going to find it for you. Go ahead.
Well, this week I was telling him a famous I think I was in grad school and I was working in my office in the evenings, and I used to listen to Fox Sports Radio at nighttime. It was a dude doing it back then named Zabin.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
That guy.
Okay.
And it was one of those years when there was a really bad NFL team. I think it was the Colts. And your subject that night was, could Alabama beat the Colts?
Dumb.
Or whoever was the best team that year, probably Bama. And a guy called you up, I remember to this day.
Was his name? You loved Rex?
It. No. A guy called you up and he told you his name was Pete the Bookie. And he told you the Colts minus 21 would be the line. And you were like, really? I don't know if they'd win the game. Why are you laying 21? And he said to you, Alabama has 15 NFL players in their lineup. The Colts have 53.
Right. And 15 is a lot for any college team.
Yeah. It's a good team. He's a like, lot. They have 53. They're laying 21 points. Oh.
Yeah. That's an old sports radio trope that used to be trotted out. And it was fun. I don't know if I truly believed it. Here is your highlights from this.
Coming to the lineup. Chicago. On his very first play, firing out to Tommy Reeman.
Playing in a rock hard after field. All right. Guys are slipping left and right. Terry Hanratty looking.
Caught him a little bit, and some of the fans, I think, remember about that.
Many of the fans have pulled out, and we frankly don't play.
Thunder and lightning, did they stop the game? Fuck no. Unlike today, where if there's lightning in a tri-state area, you'll play an NFL game that you wanted to watch on TV and have a parlay on for 2.5 hours if need.
With Tommy Reeman. This is Reeman.
I prefer my axe. I think you can climb right.
By the way, the copy on this videotape is terrible, but it does look like the college All-Stars are mimicking the Penn State uniforms. They just have white helmets and blue jerseys. Here's the end of it.
By a group of young people. One really kind of has to wonder how far we're going to go. And I don't know how in the world they'll get this game resumed.
I don't know how in the world they're going to get this resumed. The goalposts are being swallowed by an angry mob. And look at how shiny and slick the field is on that hard old AstroTurf with the stadium lights glaring.
Thought the old crowd was going to crowd remaining is the crowd you see out on the field. If you look at the top of your screen, the stands are empty.
This was real. This actually happened. So there you go.
Yep. Well, and now we're stuck with the Pro Bowl, which, I don't know, was it this weekend? That has got to end somehow soon. It's just got to stop.
You asked the question, which was that this weekend? Which is a great question, because you and I remember when it used to be the week after the Super Bowl in Honolulu off of Waikiki Beach at the University of Hawaii Stadium with their old shitty hard AstroTurf. And the coaches would wear Hawaiian shirts and Lays. And the players would play at about 80%. There were special rules put in, like you can't blitz. And games were about 53 to 51, most of my teenage and early 20s years. But then the games went from that to about 75, 74, and then it got really out of hand. Then the NFL said, okay, what if we moved it to the week between the Super Bowl and the conference championship? Move it to perhaps another place, like Orlando. Like, even though the Super Bowl is not in Orlando, we could hold it there outdoors. So they did. And I think that lasted for a couple of years, I want to say. Then they decided to just screw that because nobody wanted to play. And they turned it into skiddly butt, flaggity grabbity ass. And the first one was in Vegas about 3 years ago. And that launched a series of step downs in ratings that has gotten pretty bad. I'm going to read the ratings to you now. Or just a second here. But do you know when and where the, quote, Pro Bowl games are going to be?
I have no idea.
If I told you Tuesday night.
Oh, sure.
If I told you that it was going to be indoors in a convention center next to the NFL experience, what would you say?
Sounds like 2026. I guess.
Yeah. I mean, just absurd, right? But that is where we are at.
Well, this could be the last year, I'd hope. I know it won't be, but and if they cancel it, just like it took a thunderstorm to cancel the college Super Bowl champ game, it takes Shador Sanders making the roster as their third string quarterback for them to realize this is not good anymore.
Yeah. Well, how about the fact that with Joe Flacco being named as a guy? Well,
why not?
There, the Browns had two Pro Bowl quarterbacks, and yet they still fired their coach.
Yeah. Well, the new coach, he comes right in. He hits the ground running. He's got a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Yeah.
In fact, it was X2 this week that pointed out, he sent me a thing where he said, someday I'm going to show my kids this video and they're not going to believe it. And it's the famous Sean Taylor in the Pro Bowl.
Oh, yes.
When he absolutely laid out the punter who ran a ball on a fake punt. And it's like, yeah, that doesn't really happen in Pro Bowls, does it? Yeah, it did.
Yeah, apparently it did. Okay, anything else you want to talk about before we wrap it up here? You want to give me some thoughts on the betting the Super Bowl MVP, knowing that nowadays they pretty much only give it to quarterbacks unless someone else does something heroic?
Yeah, I would say this. If you believe in the Patriots to win the game, I wouldn't take their odds. I'd take Drake May. You get better on him than you do the team, and if they win, it's going to be him. But I
Probably.
It is usually the QB. It's got the odds have gotten so it used to be fun to pick a dark horse. It's really hard to now because it's a sucker bet to take the quarterback, but I don't know if it can be anyone else. JSN's probably the play because I do think there's still a lot of people that'll be like, okay, he's gonna get an 8 or 10 catch game, and are they gonna give it to Sam Darnold? I mean, you know, or is it gonna be a Cooper Kupp thing where they just give it to the best receiver on the winning team? I don't think either team can run the ball in this game, so I wouldn't go near any of the running backs. But I would say that in close, are we gonna talk Zabe Vegas, or have we talked that enough already?
No, I was about to get to that.
Okay, sorry.
Trying to cue up some music, and you switched topics on me. Oh. The last.
Sorry.
Okay. No. So anything else about the Super Bowl and gambling you want to talk about?
No, good.
Just go.
I got a lot of work to do on props this week because there's, God, there's just so darn many. And it's not. I don't want to bet the normal ones. I want to find a nugget. That's what I do. Find something. And these days, every time I find something, today I found two. I'll tell you that. And they both in 2 hours switched odds. Horrible.
Really?
Yeah. It's like it's almost like I'm not the only guy betting these.
Okay.
I found the Patriots to punt before they score at like even money. And I thought, I like them to, and the, I looked it up and Seattle has had like a 3-and-out or a no score on the first drive, something like 11 out of the last 12 games. So then I logged back in to take that and it had already gone to like minus 180.
All right.
Terribly.
All right. Zabe Vegas is on, and I found something amazing on Saturday night, and that is a trove of emails from people asking for information on how to claim their bid in my spam folder. Ooh. I mean, I'm talking about 20 different names in there, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I had no idea you'd be caught up in spam, but that's where they were. So I made sure to reply, and we got a bunch of guys coming in. We got a bachelor party coming in. One guy bought 8 bids for him and his boys. I'm like, yeah, baby, let's go. So I believe we're going to get a full field of 64. We're well over a quarter already at 16 bids. I'm probably closer to 20, 25. And that means I got budget now. I got to go get a hat made up. I might get a challenge coin made up. I'm going to have some budget for us to do some other stuff. So I'm very excited for this. Have you booked your ticket yet, Mr. X?
I have not, but I will, because I've probably gotten at least 10 emails saying, hey, is this really happening? Are you really going? And it looks to me like your 2019 band is getting back together.
I love it.
The ladies from Indy are coming.
Oh, yeah, the Kendra and Carol Packard. Those lunatics.
The legend Dan Sellers wants to go. Yeah,
Sellers is going.
Yeah, there's
Mary is coming. Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be fun. Let's just hope they don't remove the Papa Shot machine without telling me.
Yeah.
MGM Grand in the level up area.
Yeah, you posted that bracket, and I looked at that bracket, and I don't remember being a 15 seed. How'd that happen?
You suck. You're old.
Hey, I pulled 2 off and covered in the third.
Okay. as far as properly seating the bracket for Papa Shot, I'm not quite sure how we'll do that, but we'll figure that out at some point. Okay, Mr. X, if you want to join us in Vegas, just email me, zabe@yahoo.com, and I will try to make sure to check my spam folder assiduously to make sure it doesn't end up there. For more on prop bets for the Super Bowl, go to callmemrx.com if you want more inside intel from Mr. X, or at least copy off his homework for however good the homework's going to be. And anything else? I think we're covered for the week.
Good.
Nope. All right, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
All right, take care.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.